able to learn is that at least one of the causes is his own tendency in the same direction as the sinners who are down there. Okay, so that what he's learning is it's about the intellectual nature, it's about the nature of sin, and he learns it intellectually, but it's not something abstract. It's something that very much relates to his own condition. He's learning about folks who took a path and stayed on it. He's sort of headed in that direction himself unless he does something to turn around. Unless he himself has a conversion, he's going to be where they are. So the sins not only tell us universally about the common tendency of all of us to mistake a lesser good for a greater good, they also turn out to be something that tells us specifically about what Dante's particular temptations were and how close he comes to succumbing to them.
Certainly one of the things we can say about sin, and this is not original with Dante, is that on the surface, it's attractive. That is to say, if I steal somebody's TV set, I've got a nicer TV set than I had before. It seems to be to my good. There's an attractive side to sin. If sin weren't fun or attractive in some way, presumably people wouldn't do it very much. And so one of the things Dante has to learn to do is to recognize sin for what it is, to recognize sin in its essence rather than simply seeing the surface apparent good or pleasure that comes from it, really see what it is in all of its separating one from those things that are the things of eternity, separating one from God, separating one from God's plan. And so Dante devises a series of punishments throughout the Inferno that allow us as clearly as possible, for us the readers anyway, and increasingly for Dante the Pilgrim, to see what sin really is without the attractive surface.
Which means, of course, that in some way, the punishment for the sin is going to reflect the nature of the sin itself. It's not arbitrary, tacked on, hey, this sounds like a good idea, let's boil them in oil upside down. There's going to be some kind of direct and explicit or implicit connection between the two. The punishment is a kind of objectification of the sin. So that, for example, down around the circle of the violent, what we're going to find, seventh circle, we're going to find those who are, in Dante's categories, violent against their neighbors. All right, people who have spilled other folks' blood. Well, it turns out their punishment is to be kind of immersed in a big river, a big pool of blood. Okay, and you know, you see something of the nature of that what they caused, they now have to suffer. But also, it turns out that they are sort of surrounded by kind of half humans, half beasts, sort of centaurs who are there, bows and arrows, ready to shoot them if they get out of line. In other words, they have become not only immersed in this bloody gop, but also they have become citizens of a kind of police state. All right? And you can kind of look a little bit further into that and see that, well, indeed, the more violence that is caused by their crimes on Earth, the more the response is more law and order, more cops. You know, we now have to board everything up. We now have to have bolts on all of our windows. In other words, what they have caused is the mechanism by which the world kind of turns into a police state, and that's what they suffer as a result of their punishment.
Another example would be when we get into the area of fraud, one of the groups that we'll meet in that section of hell are the fortune tellers, people who are sort of false prophets, falsely predict the future for gain and so on. And their punishment is really quite wonderful. Their heads are on backwards, so that those who always claim to see ahead of them now can only see behind them. And I might add that that particular punishment gives Dante an opportunity to be somewhat at his most grotesque. He describes these faces weeping, and therefore the tears run down through the cleft of the buttocks. It's really one of the great images we have farther down in Dante's hell.
And in fact, that relationship between a sin and its punishment is one of the most endlessly imaginative aspects of the Inferno, that Dante, the poet, thinks up some really nifty things. And simply going through and seeing the relationship between punishment and crime is one of the reasons why the Inferno, among everything else, is just a fun read. Okay? Simply in terms of the kind of thing that undergraduates look for. We teach a humanities course most semesters where the Inferno is a required text, and I give a kind of exit exam where I ask everybody, okay, list your most and least favorite text for the course. Over the past 10 years, I think Dante has won out as the most favorite. It might not be every semester, but the kind of total